السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا
الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونستنصره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له إلها واحدا أحدا صمدا لم يتخذ صاحبة ولا ولدا ولم يكن له كفوا أحد وأشهد أن نبينا وعظيمنا محمدا عبد الله ورسوله وصفيه من خلقه وحبيبه اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد يقول جل جلاله في محكم التنزيل قل هل يستوي الذين يعلمون والذين لا يعلمون إنما يتذكر أولو الألباب. I'm going to continue with the series of seeking knowledge this week and next week before I move on to something new. And the reason that I want to focus on this, even though I've done this, this is probably the second or even third time, I can't remember, that I've covered short series within khutbahs talking about knowledge. And it's not because I run out of ideas or topics that I think are worthy of sharing with you, but rather because I truly believe in my core, in the heart of my heart, that this is the way out for us. This is the only way out for us. That as a Muslim ummah, as Muslim communities, as Muslim individuals, the way for us out of the darkness that we are residing in, into enlightenment of any sort, to find the light, is going to come through knowledge. It's going to come through knowledge because that's what happened the first time around. You have to learn from history. And sometimes learning from history is not just learning what mistakes not to make, but also learning what you should be doing. And I can't think of a better example of the status of the Arab when the Prophet ﷺ came to them. They had absolutely nothing working for them. Everything was against them. They were one of the few populations on earth that never historically built a great empire. They didn't have the resources for it. They didn't live beside rivers. They didn't have a lot of large bodies of fresh water. They just didn't have these things. So they never ended up having a large empire as many of the nations before them. If you exclude Ad and Thamud, they didn't last very long anyways. They just didn't. And when the Prophet ﷺ came to them, at that time, they lacked any form of political organization. They didn't have any form of unity. They didn't really have any resources. They didn't have large armies. They didn't have almost anything that would indicate to anyone at that time looking at the world to think that the next change, the next huge change or shift within historical events is going to come from this desert. No one had any reason to believe that. But he was able to actually do it, alayhi salatu wasalam, in record time, by the way. In record time, but that's for a topic for another khutbah. The amount of time it took him, alayhi salatu wasalam, to transform people is absolutely unheard of. Well, how did he do it? How did he do it? It was done through ilm. It was done through knowledge. Today, we are in one of the darker spots of, or darker points of Islamic history. The graph has dipped quite low. And no matter how you look at it, no matter how optimistic you want to be, or I want to try and be, it's just we're stuck with this reality that this is these are very dark moments for us. We've had worse. I've shared with you, there have been worse for sure. But this is a dark moment nonetheless, where a full nation of 2 billion people lack the ability to stop bloodshed amongst their innocents, amongst the women and children of one of their majority countries. That Muslims don't have enough pull within the world that they live in. Think about this. That Muslims, 2 billion of us, we don't have enough pull in any of the countries that we live in across the globe to stop this ongoing genocidal attempt that's happening in the Holy Land, now counting over 45,000 people have been killed. That, to me, is an indication that this is a very dark point. In case some of us at some point before this were thinking that things are getting better, not really. We have to be honest about it. This is not. We have no indications right now. Now it can change for sure, and the goal is for that to change for sure. For us to actually be in a position where something like this would never happen again. It can happen. It can change, but that change is going to come through a gate. Which gate is it? It's going to come through the gate of knowledge, of seeking knowledge by this ummah. Especially by the younger generation, where they're going to go out and they're going to learn. They're going to learn everything that they can learn. The Prophet ﷺ tells us, وَفَضْلُ الْعَالِمِ عَلَى الْعَابِدِ كَفَضْلِ الْقَمَرِ عَلَى سَائِرِ الْكَوَاكِبِ لَيْلَةَ الْبَدْرِ. And the difference between a scholar, a scientist, someone of knowledge, and a worshipper, a common person, is like the difference or the significance of a full moon over all the stars in the sky to you when you're looking at the sky. Huge difference. In another hadith, also in Collection of Ibn Majah, he said, you would say, alayhi sallam, فَضْلُ الْعَالِمِ عَلَى الْعَابِدِ كَفَضْلِي عَلَى أَدْنَاكُمْ. The significance or difference between a scholar and a common worshipper is a difference between Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the least of Muslims. And the least of Muslims, his wording, alayhi sallatu wasalam. The ayah that I just recited for you, say, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the Prophet alayhi sallatu wasalam and us after him. Say, هَلْ يَسْتَوِي, ask this question, is it equal, or are they equal? الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ, those who have knowledge. وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ, and those who don't. إِنَّمَا يَتَذَكَّرُ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. Exclusively the ones who will know the answer to these questions are أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ, the ones who have intellect. I mean, the people who have knowledge know. They know the difference. They know the difference. Thomas Hobbes in his Leviathan, which is a book, for those of you who are interested in sociology, is very important. One of the most important works, aside from مُقَدِّمَةِ ابن خَلْدُونَ. And within it, in the 1600s, he stated for the first time the phrase, knowledge is power. For the first time, that statement was made in this script. And it's been kind of carried along for centuries afterwards. And as Muslims, we've always known that. We've always known that knowledge is your path to power. Your weakness and my weakness right now at this moment is just the fact that I don't know what's coming next. That's it. My weakness right now is just that I don't know what tomorrow carries for me. I'm ignorant of it's ghaib to me. It's ghaib. I don't know what's in store for me tomorrow or the day after. I don't know. If I knew, life would be very different for me. If you knew it was coming your way, you could avoid. قل يعني لا أملك لنفسي نفعا ولا ضرا ولو كنت أعلم الغيب لاستكثرت من الخير وما مسني السوء. The Prophet alayhi salatu would say, if I knew ghaib, if I knew all that which was unknown to a human being, which he doesn't, alayhi salatu wasalam, and he's the most knowledgeable of everyone, then I would make sure no harm ever came to me. I would only do good things because I knew what was going to happen next. I could plan ahead. You can't. It's our ignorance that makes us weak as human beings. And the more ignorant we are, the weaker we are. And the more knowledge we have, the stronger we are. And this is what the word imam actually means in Islam. Which is why I called the academy Imam Development. The word Imam means this. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to Ibrahim, he said, "Inni ja'iluka lin-nasi imama." That's the wording he used with Ibrahim alayhi salam. The most followed human being, even though lots of people follow him incorrectly. But he is the most followed human being. Most faiths on earth will identify with Ibrahim. They may disagree on the description of Isa, disagree on the story of Musa, disagree on the status of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ajma'in. But we all agree, he's agreed upon by at least half of the people living on this planet. During his life, he had very few followers, alayhi salatu wasalam. Ibrahim had very few people who listened to him during his life. He didn't build a country. He didn't have sahaba as the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, did. It happened after he passed away. Well, then why did Allah call him, I'm going to make you for people an imam? Because what it means to lead by example. It means to be the person who opens the doors, who paves the way, the one who's going to be the role model, the one who's not waiting for other people to come and do some of the scut work for him. He's not waiting for others to go and sacrifice themselves or put themselves ahead. He was going to do it, not looking back, whether you followed him or not, didn't make a difference to him, alayhi salatu wasalam. And he became one of the most significant historical figures of all time, alayhi salam. The concept of being an imam, of taking, but how do you do that? You can't do that without knowledge. The word imam in our tradition was left for people who had. So this is what I did for this khutbah. I made a challenge for myself, and I'll tell you what the challenge was. I told myself right before the khutbah, 10-15 minutes before the khutbah, I was going to go into my office, and then my computer still open. And I was going to go to the book Sir A'lam al-Nubala. This is written by Hafiz al-Dhahabi rahimahullah. And for 5 minutes, just for 5 minutes, this is a challenge, because I could do this easily throughout the week, but I was going to do it right before Jum'ah. Go sit, and I'm going to scroll through and swift through Sir A'lam al-Nubala, and just choose scholars. Just choose scholars out of those books and come and read to you what he said about them. Right? This took me 5 minutes inside. This was 5 minutes just before the khutbah. I didn't prepare this. I can't memorize this by heart, so I'm going to read it to you. Ibn Rushd al-Hafid, Muhammad ibn Ahmad ibn Muhammad al-Qurtubi. This is what he said about him. فَكَانَتْ لَهُ الْفِقْهُ فِي الْإِمَامَةِ وَكَانَ يُفْزَعُ إِلَى فُتْيَاهُ فِي الطِّبِّ كَمَا يُفْزَعُ إِلَى فُتْيَاهُ فِي الْفِقْهِ مَعَ وُفُورِ اللُّغَةِ الْعَرَبِيَّةِ وَكَانَ يَحْفَظُ دِيوَانَ أَبِي تَمَّامٍ الْمُتَنَبِّي وَلَهُ مِنَ التَّصَانِيفِ بِدَايَةُ الْمُجْتَهِدِ وَهُوَ مِنْ أَشْهَرِ كُتُبِ الْفِقْهِ وَلَهُ الْكُلِّيَّاتُ فِي الطِّبِّ وَلَهُ مُخْتَصَرُ الْمُسْتَصْفَى فِي الْأُصُولِ وَالْفَلْسَفَةِ. Ibn Rushd al-Hafid, one of the scholars, he is a Maliki faqih, and he is one of the famous doctors of his time. He wrote a book called Al-Kulliyat fi al-Tibb. He has a collection out of four volumes that he wrote within medicine. Al-Allama Dhul-Funun Ahmad ibn Dawood al-Daynuri al-Nahwi Tilmid ibn al-Sakit rahimahullah Saduqun kabiru al-Daira tawiru al-Ba'i Allafa fi al-Nahwi wal-Lughati wal-Handasati wal-Hay'ati wal-Waqti wa Ashya walahu kitabu al-Nabat kabiru al-Jami' wa kitabu al-Anwa. Another scholar, he's a known Hanafi scholar. He wrote in Nahw and Sarf, which is Arabic language. He wrote in Hindasa. He wrote meaning within geometry and physics. And he has a book called An-Nabat, Plants in Botany. العلامة المتفنن أبو عبيد عبد الله بن عبد العزيز بن محمد البكري نزيل قرطبة حدث عن أبي مروان بن حيان وأبي بكر المصحفي وأجاز له أبو عمر ابن عبد البر صنف في أعلام النبوة وعمل شرحا الأمالي وكتاب اشتقاق الأسماء وكتاب معجم ما استعجم من البلدان والأماكن وكتاب النبات وكان من أوعية الفضائل. A Maliki scholar by the name of Muhammad ibn Muhammad al-Bakri, he was given the ijaza by Abu Umar ibn Abdul Barr, one of the most famous Maliki scholar of all time, and he wrote a book talking about the different signs of prophecies, and he wrote the book in geography, pointing out the names of all of the countries that existed within his region. He has a book called An-Nabat again, in botany, rahimahullah. العلامة البارع شيخ الأدب أبو سعيد الحسن بن الحسين بن عبد الله بن عبد الرحمن بن العلاء ابن أبي صفرة ابن الأمير المهلب ابن أبي صفرة الأزدي المهلب السكري النحوي صاحب التصانيف سمع من يحيى بن معين له كتاب الوحوش وكتاب النبات وكان عجبا في معرفة أشعار العرب ابن السكري إذا شافعي سكولر خطيب البغدادي تالز ثقة دينا صادقا يقرأ القرآن and he wrote a book called الوحوش animals من كتاب النبات in botany. أبو الفرج ابن الجوزي عبد الرحمن بن علي الشيخ الإمام والعلامة الحافظ المفسر شيخ الإسلام مفخر العراق وجمال الدين صاحب التصانيف الكثيرة والمؤلفات في كل فن كتب منافع الطب في مجلد وإيقاظ الوسنان بأحوال النبات والحيوان. Ibn al-Jawzi, the very, very famous scholar of Islamic law, very famous, he has written, this man wrote over 555 books. These are the ones that we have. There's as much that he wrote that we don't have. He wrote a book called Manafi' al-Tib, the different, يعني, the benefits of medicine. He wrote Iqad al-Wasnan bi-Ahwal al-Nabati wal-Haywan. He wrote a book about animals and plants. Don't you know when you get bored? الشيخ الإمام العلامة الفقيه النحوي اللغوي الطبيب ذو الفنون موفق الدين أبو محمد عبد اللطيف ابن عبد الفقيه يوسف ابن محمد ابن علي ابن أبي سعد الموصلي ثم البغدادي الشافعي نزيل حلب يعرف قديما بابن اللباد صنف في اللغة وفي الطب والتواريخ وكان يوصف بالذكاء. Ibn al-Labbad, he is a known faqih Shafi'i, and he wrote in literature, and he had books that he wrote regarding medicine, and he wrote in history. He was a historian في التواريخ. المازري أبو عبد الله محمد بن عبد الله ابن علي بن عمر بن محمد الشيخ الإمام العلامة البحر المتفنن المالكي مصنف كتاب المعلم بفوائد شرح صحيح مسلم أتقن الطب حتى فاق فيه وكان ممن يفتي فيه كما يفتي في الفقه وبرع في علوم كثيرة منها الحساب والأداب وغير ذلك. Imam al-Mazari, al-Faqih al-Maliki, who wrote one of the most important explanations of a hadith book called Al-Mu'lim, bi-sharh bi-fawa'id sahih Muslim. He explained that later on Qadi Iyad would explain his book. Imam al-Mazari, he was the first one to explain sahih Muslim, and then they built on it afterwards to what Imam al-Nawawi did later on. And he is someone who wrote in medicine, and he wrote in geometry, and he wrote in math. He had books that he made in math. One more. يلا. الإمام الحافظ المجود المصنف أبو العباس جعفر بن محمد المعتز المستغفري النسفي مؤلف كتاب معرفة الصحابة وكتاب الدعوات وكتاب دلائل النبوة وفضائل القرآن وكتاب خطب النبي وكتاب تاريخ نسف وكتاب الطب وكتاب تاريخ كش وغير ذلك. الإمام المستغفري, who wrote some of the most important books regarding the attributes of the Sahaba, he actually is the only person who wrote a book that put all together the khutbah of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. He wrote a book in medicine, and he wrote a book, the first book that we have, about chess. It's called Tariq Kish. We don't have it. It got lost. But he wrote a book where he explained how chess works, and he talked about all the good games. I'll end with that. I have five more, just so you know. Yeah, it just took me 5 minutes. I sat in front of my computer, put Sir Alam al-Nubala from Maktab al-Shamir, I just swept through. Just randomly went through, chose someone, wrote down what they talked about. Swift through, wrote down what he talked about. This is our history. This is what Islam produced to the world. This is your legacy. This is your identity. This is where you come from. You come from a nation of imams, of ulama, of people who studied everything they could get their hands on. And they added to human knowledge. They added to human knowledge to a degree that without their additions and without their translations, without their works, we wouldn't have what we have. I know you were told growing up that all of this was made in the West. Yes, it was made. The last piece of it was made in the West. The last piece of it. That's not all that matters. No? If we're ignorant enough to think there's only the guy who scored the goal that matters, then you don't understand the sport. Everyone contributes. The goalie is important, the defender, the midfielder. If you think it's just the person who scored the goal, then you're a child, like my son, my children. They're just like the forward, the one who pushed the goals. They don't appreciate the genius of the people before. Muslims maybe not have done it now, but for the longest time, for 1,000 years, for a millennium, we We brought religion and faith together in full harmony and in synchrony. And we added to human knowledge. And our imams were people who were educated in every aspect of existence. And that is what we have to go back to again. We have to go back to this. We all, in the hundreds of thousands, I'm saying, in the hundreds of thousands, you shabab of the shabab of this ummah have to go back to this. You must learn and diversify the fields of knowledge, please. Diversify the fields of knowledge as they are diverse today. We have enough doctors, just so you know. We're saturated. We filled the quota is full. We don't need more doctors or engineers for that matter. We're good. We have enough. Maybe we move on to other stuff. Maybe political sciences. Maybe literature. Maybe we get into media, into human sciences. We need people. We need to diversify the fields of knowledge that our children study. I know if you're a Middle Eastern mother and father, I know that the only thing that you want is either a doctor or dead. That's the only two choices that you want your children. But really, that comes from a mentality of living in the Middle East where it was hard to make a living. It was hard to survive. So you needed something safe. We don't need safe anymore. We can't afford safe anymore. We need people in every field and every discipline of this world. They have to go and learn. And as they do that, they learn their deen. Ya akhi, they learn their deen. They know the Quran. All these scholars are hafaz of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of them. I didn't have to read that because that goes without being said. Imam al-Zahabi won't put that in the description. Kana hafidhan. That's ridiculous. How is he an imam and not a that doesn't exist. An imam, not a sorry. You wouldn't qualify for your name to be in this book if you were not, if you didn't have these basics. It can be done together. It has been done together. It is still being done together. And you have to do these things together. And I don't accept anything less. And it's not having a high standard. If you think it's a high standard that for you to be someone who is very proficient within a discipline of knowledge in this world and proficient in your deen, if you feel that's a high standard, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry that you were led to believe that's a high standard. It's not a high standard. That's the norm. What are you talking about? You're a Muslim. Of course you're going to be studying all of this stuff. Of course you're going to be a alim. Of course you're going to know more. Of course. How else do you understand Islam? Please, if you understand Islam differently, come explain it to me. Because I don't know any other way for Islam to exist in the world aside from this. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه يغفر لكم يا فوز المستغفرين استغفر الله. الحمد لله وحده وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على من لا نبي بعده وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اتبع نهجه ووفى عهده. إخواني وأخواتي، أنا شاركتكم يعني هذه الأسماء العظيمة، وكان الغاية من يعني من سرد هذه السير بطريقة أو بأسلوب يعني مبسط ومختصر، هو فقط مشاركتكم إرثنا. أن أشارككم الإرث الإسلامي الذي تركه لنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أجمعين، وتركه لنا الصحابة من بعده، وتركها لنا علماء هذه الأمة. تركوا لنا هذا الإرث، هذا الإرث الذي امتلأ علما وحكمة وفهما وجهادا في سبيل الله سبحانه وتعالى بالقلم وباللسان وبالجسد وليس لنا كأمة مخرج من هذا الظلام ومن هذه الظلمة الحالكة التي تحيط بنا من كل اتجاه إلا بالعلم. نهضت أمة محمد عليه الصلاة والسلام بالعلم. الصحابة انتقلوا من حال إلى حال بالعلم، تعلموا من سيدنا النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام، أخذوا منه العلوم وأخذوا منه الفهوم. فلما علموا وفهموا وفقهوا نهضوا بأمة غيرت مجرى التاريخ. وفي كل مرة انهارت هذه الأمة قامت مرة أخرى بجيل من الشباب تعلموا العلم، بجيل من الشباب تعلموا العلم، وما زال هؤلاء العلماء ينقلون لنا الدين وينقلون لنا هذه العلوم كابرا عن كابر إلى يومنا هذا. وليس على أحدنا إلا أن يعود فيطلب العلم. This is my understanding of the word imama. It has nothing to do with gender. Imam means man. No, it has nothing to do with it. By the way, I could have shared with you names of women as well. I didn't because I couldn't download the book in 5 minutes. But it's very similar. The understanding of imama is to lead by example. It's to be a role model. It's to be exemplar. It's to be someone who takes upon themselves a responsibility of getting the job done. And then they walk. They only look back if someone's asking for help. Otherwise, they don't care. Whether you're following or you're not. Whether you're, it doesn't matter. That's what imamah means. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you. وَالَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. Oh, our Lord, grant us from our wives and our families something that will be the cool of our eyes, something beautiful. Show us, give us beautiful families, families that are strong, families that are Muslim, families that are productive, that will be with us in Jannah. Ya Rabb, Ameen. وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. And make us imams for the pious. What, everyone's going to be an imam? It's going to be very crowded up here if everyone's going to be an imam. But that's not what he's talking about, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's not talking about the imam of Salat al-Jumu'ah or any salah. He's talking about you being a leader by example. You not waiting for someone else to do something for you. You and going and doing it yourself because you know that this is the right thing to do. He was an imam, alayhi salatu wasalam, because Ibrahim was an imam before him. And all those who figured it out, who figured out Islam, what Islam was, became imams in their own sense. In their own sense. I just shared with you the names of the people in that book that I came by that were fuqaha and also scientists. There's a lot that were one, not the other. And it's all at the end knowledge that people need to go and seek. The Quran uses this term, hukman wa ilma, a lot. I shared this with you a few weeks ago. When he talks about, يعني بلوط آتيناه حكما وعلما. عيسى حكما وعلما. يحيى خذ الكتاب بقوة وآتيناه الحكم صبية. علما ان حكمة. Talk about Musa. آتيناه حكما وعلما. يوسف حكما وعلما. سليمان داود حكما وعلما. The same repetition of the same words. What are they? They are the recipe of what an imamah means. حكم is the ability, the confidence, and the wisdom to make proper and sound decisions. That needs mentorship. That's why I talk about mentorship. If you have no experience, if no one's in front of you making decisions, and you're making decisions based on those decisions they're making. If you're not being given space to go and make a choice, and then someone is watching you to bring you back and say, maybe next time do it that way. Without that mentorship, you're gonna lack hukum. You're gonna lack hukum. You can't make decisions. You can't make choices. If we don't have a generation of people that are being prepared to make choices, then what exactly are we hoping for? No one lives forever. Whoever is making choices today, barakallah fiyum, I hope they're making good choices. But if we're not preparing the next generation to do the same, we have a problem. So we need mentorship. And the second piece, wa ilma, knowledge. It's easy. This one's easy. Knowledge, they have to have the information. The knowledge that will allow them to make proper judgments. What is good, what is bad, what is needed, what's prioritized, what is not. That requires education. It requires people who are willing to learn, to be lifelong learners. This is what our deen is about. By the way, Yani, the book that I read for you from, if you were to make another one today, it would be much thinner. You know, even though there's way more Muslims, but it'll be much thinner. All the names I shared with you were just from the fifth Islamic century. I just opened the fifth Islamic century and just went through them quickly. Those are the names. Yeah. If you were to take this century, what century is the 15th Islamic century? If you had a hafiz like Imam al-Dhahabi and he wanted to write it, it would be much thinner. It would. Sad that it would, but it would. We do have centuries like that. The 11th century is pretty thin in comparison to the 8th and 7th and later on the 12th and 13th. We have to thicken that chapter a bit in our book. We have to get more people on those pages. We have to get you to actually see the value of knowledge, not to make a living. Of course, you need to make a living. Of course, you need to make a living and a good one too. But knowledge, because knowledge is so valuable. It's the legacy of the prophets. It's the legacy of Muhammad alayhi salam. You love Muhammad alayhi salam. This is the month of Rabi'ah, where we get to remember the day he was born, the day he passed away, and his life, and we get to celebrate his legacy alayhi salam. What is his legacy? We want to celebrate his life. Fine, celebrate, but what is his legacy? Aside from knowledge, ya akhi, how are we celebrating his legacy when we're not learning his deen? It makes no sense to me. I'm embarrassed, actually. As much as I love celebrating celebrating this month, I feel embarrassed to do it. If we're going to celebrate him, alayhi salatu, and not learn what he left us, and not actually take time to study the knowledge that he left behind, then it seems like a sellout to me. It seems out that we're not doing this right. You want to celebrate him, alayhi salatu, so start by making sure you dedicate your life to knowledge, to taking the knowledge that he left us, alayhi salatu wasalam, to build his ummah, and then you can celebrate. And that's the celebration. He'll be happier with that, I'll tell you so as much. I'll tell you, he'll be happier with that, alayhi salatu wasalam, I swear. He'll meet you on al-qiyamah, and you'll be happy. You took that legacy and you walked with it. The registration for the Imam Development Academy closes on Sunday. So those of you who would still want to, maybe someone can move it. There you go. Those of you who'd like to register still have until Sunday to do so. After that, we're gonna close registration. The goal of everything that we run in this masjid is to educate, is to mentor. That's the goal. That is what this place is open for. That's what I believe all masajid should be open for. I don't think masajid should have many other focuses aside from those two. I really don't. I think everything else is premature. I think everything else, we have to wait a bit. You need a workforce. People can keep on coming saying, we need Islamic schools. We need staff to teach in Islamic schools. That's what we need. We need staff to teach in Islamic schools. You want an Islamic school? It's not hard to find space. We can rent space, no problem. Who's going to teach? Who's going to teach these kids? Who knows who has enough knowledge and skill set to do this stuff? That's what we lack. We lack workforce. We lack people to do the job. We think it's all there. No, it's not. It's not. So we have to go back and learn. And we have to make sure that becomes our priority. And we put our wealth and we put our time to educate our youth. And make sure that those who left school go back to school again. And those who don't know Islam, come and learn Islam appropriately. And you do that for a decade. And you see a change. You see a shift. In 23 years, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam transformed a peninsula in a way that we still don't fully understand. We still don't fully understand how these people were able to change the way they changed, aside from ilm. I'll end with that, inshallah. I hope that was a benefit to you. وَعَلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ أَمَرَنَا بِأَمْرٍ عَظِيمٍ فَقَالْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد وارض اللهم عن الأربعة الخلفاء السادة الحنفاء أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان علي وارض اللهم عن أزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وعن آله الطيبين الطاهرين وعن صحابته الغر الميامين وعن التابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وعنا معهم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات اللهم فرج هموم المهمومين ونفس كروب المكروبين وارفع الغم عن المغمومين وارفع الظلم عن المظلومين واحقن دماءنا ودماء المسلمين اللهم احقن دماء إخواننا المسلمين المستضعفين في كل مكان احقن دماءهم في غزة فلسطين وفي السودان وبنغلاديش وغيرها من بلاد الأرض يا رب العالمين اللهم رد المسجد الأقصى إلى رحاب المسلمين اللهم أخرج الصهاينة منه أذلة صاغرين وارزقنا أجمعين فيه صلاة قبل الممات يا رب العالمين وما ذلك عليك اللهم بعزيز ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان إيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون.